1 Corinthians chapter 13 this evening. We'll read the chapter as we begin tonight, as we're going through the book of 1 Corinthians on Sunday evenings. We'll take a pause again next Sunday evening as missionary Joel Hauser will be with us, and we'll pick up after that. But tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. Follow along if you would in your Bible as I read aloud. 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 1. The Apostle Paul writes and says this: "Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail, whether there be tongues, they shall cease, whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you as always for your word. Father, everything that we need to know about you, you've communicated to us through your word. Father, holy men of old, the Bible says, spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So God, the words we read are not merely the words penned by men, but Father, those inspired by God. As we consider this chapter tonight, I pray, Father, you'd just not increase our knowledge and increase our information about your word, but Father, speak more to our hearts than you do to our ears. Father, challenge us in the area of charity, the theme of this chapter. Father, bless your word as we go through it together. Speak to each and every heart. Show us in our life, on our areas, how we can improve in the area of charity. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we look at chapter 13 this evening, of course, it's a very well-known chapter. It's called the chapter of love. And we'll talk about that more just in a moment. But what I want us to do is make sure that we do not take the chapter away from its context. A lot of times folks talk about 1 Corinthians 13 and they bring it right out of between chapter 12 and 14 and lose the purpose for which Paul wrote about it. He didn't write this chapter just so that we could focus on that chapter, and that seems to be the tendency in our day. But Paul is writing again in context. He's going through, he said at the end of chapter 12 at verse 31, "But I show unto you a more excellent way." Chapter 13 is about gifts. Chapter 12 was about gifts. Chapter 14 is about gifts. The three chapters together are one continuous subject matter. And we need to be careful that we don't take chapter 13 out of its context. Chapter 12 was about confusion concerning gifts. Chapter 13 is about correction concerning gifts. Chapter 14 will be about comparison concerning gifts. And when we get to chapter 14, we'll see a wonderful truth that is so much overlooked, the difference between tongues and unknown tongues. We'll see the comparison. So chapter 13 is in the context of these three chapters, and Paul is trying to tell us that we need to put less emphasis on gifts and more emphasis on grace. That's the subject of chapter 13. Chapter 13 has 13 verses, kind of a negative context there. The double 13s, but it is the great love chapter. And every Bible, let me tell you this, every Bible, including the New King James Version that has come out, every other English translation other than your Bible right there, changes the word charity to love. And if you know the Word of God well enough, you know that when the new versions, again, we go back to the message this morning on change. When people are changing something, they're changing it, and it's not always an improvement. And so when all these Bibles change that word to love, they're, without realizing it, they're doing a disservice to the Word of God. They are lowering God's standard down to something that we comprehend and don't comprehend correctly. Love and charity are not the same thing. Now, I know that in our day, the word charity has kind of lost its oomph because we think of a handout, we think of a gift, we think of government systems and stuff like that. But charity is a high, pure, perfected form of love. If you were to get out the Webster's Dictionary of 1828, and again, Webster's 1828 Dictionary was the first dictionary made in the English language. Before that, everybody spelled words the way they thought it should be spelled. And you'll find them spelled all different kinds of ways. Even in the early translations of the King James Bible, words were spelled differently than they are now because there was not a uniform spelling. So that is the first English dictionary that Noah Webster put together to get our original language grounded. Now, the Webster's Dictionary, the Merriam-Webster's dictionaries that are out today are all different from that one. But when we go back to that one, we get closer to the true meaning of our English language. And Webster defined the word charity this way. It was defined as love, benevolence, goodwill. Love, benevolence, goodwill. Now, think about those three words. Those three words together define charity. If we take the word and put it simply love, well, Webster defined that word love as to regard with affection. That's the way it's used as a verb, as a noun. The affection of the mind. Can you see the difference in depth between love and charity? Love is affection. Charity is love, benevolence. You know what benevolence is defined as? The benevolence is defined as the disposition to do good. And so charity is love, benevolence, goodwill. Webster goes on to define it. The disposition of heart which inclines men to think favorably of their fellow man and to do them good. The difference between love and charity in our English language is a very distinct difference. Love is an affection. Love is a state of mind. But charity is love in action. Love that causes us to do something. That's the difference between love and charity. So we want to stick with the word charity, the way it's in our Bible, because it's a higher definition of love. It's love in action. We did this if you were here in Sunday school, but keep your place here and turn to 1 John chapter 3. And it's always wonderful and amazing how sometimes the Lord leads in our Sunday school lessons. We're talking about Peter, and the Lord's question to Peter, "Peter, lovest thou me?" And then tonight we're in 1 Corinthians 13. I couldn't have arranged that myself if I tried. But 1 John chapter 3, notice verse 18, as we see the definition of charity. 1 John 3:18, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth." If you take that whole verse together, that's the definition of charity. Not just love, not just an affection, but in deed and in truth. Charity is when we have a love that compels us to do something for someone else. It's higher than love. And so really, we do the Bible a disservice when we take that charity and say it as love. And we do it so many, even in our Baptist fundamental circles, you'll hear preachers preach 1 Corinthians 13 and say, love, 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 love. It's not love. It's a higher form of love. It's charity. The Bible's right. And so this evening we're going to look at this great chapter of charity. The word charity is used 28 times in the Bible. 9 of those times is right in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Now, I would challenge you, along with what I've said, go and get a concordance and look at the 28 times that word charity is used. And if you change it to love, it waters down the context of every one of those verses. Charity is a higher form of love. It's a love in action. Can we explain it this way? For God so loved the world that He gave. That's charity. Love that gives. And so we're going to look at this great chapter this evening. Let me give you the 3 points of the chapter as it's outlined so easily or I can't even say that word that Brother Hamlin says all the time. Effortlessly, something like that. All right, let's look at the chapter, how easy it is to outline it. In verse 1 to 3, we're going to see the need for charity. The need for charity. In verse 4 to 7, the nature of charity. And those are some wonderful verses, verse 4 to 7. The nature of charity. And then lastly, verse 8 to 12, the nobility of charity. How it shines above everything else. Let's look first of all, verse 1 to 3, the need for charity. Paul says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as a tinkling cymbal. Tinkling cymbal. You know what Paul's simply saying? He's saying you can have all the gifts that you want to have, but if you don't have charity, you've got nothing. Notice the end of verse number 2, nothing. The end of verse number 3, nothing. If you don't have charity, you have nothing. So Paul's talking to a church that's bragging about their gifts, boasting about their spiritual accomplishments, telling everybody, well, I can do this and I can do that, and they compare themselves among themselves, which Paul tells that church is not wise. And Paul takes all that and wraps it together, all these gifts and all these abilities and all these talents, and he says, if you have all those things, but you don't use it for the benefit of others, you don't care and love for others, you don't have charity, it's nothing. You know, folks, how many of our works are going to be burned up at the judgment seat of Christ? How many things we say we've done for Jesus? I love that song, but it's a humbling song. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? I heard that on the radio the other day, and it just took me down to this. How many of the things do we do because we love Him? How many things do? We do with the attitude of charity, not for gain, not for recognition, not even for service, but simply for the Savior. Paul said, if I had all these things, if I could speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Let me say this, there is no tongue of angels. You can search the Scriptures, you can run the concordance, you can type it in. There's nothing in the Bible about any tongues of angels. Paul is just saying, if I had the tongues of men, and even if I had a heavenly tongue, the tongue of angels, far beyond what anybody else has, if I had that and didn't have charity, it would be nothing. So Paul is telling us, first of all, you can have the gifts without charity. He enumerates them beginning in verse number 1. He talks about the gifts of communication. He said in verse number 1, if I had the gifts, if I could speak with the tongues of men and of angels. Again, we go back to the biblical explanation of tongues. Tongues are foreign languages. They began in Acts chapter 2. And Peter spoke in tongues on the day of Pentecost. And every man that was there said, how hear we every man in the language, in the tongue in which we were born? And so Paul said, if I could speak in every language and every continent of every people, but I did not have charity, I would be as a tinkling brass or a sounding cymbal. So you could have, the charity is more needful than the gifts of communication, the gift of tongues, the gift, verse number 2, the gift of prophecy. Though I have the gift of prophecy. What was the gift of prophecy? Well, a supernatural gift to give divine revelation. The prophets, as we study on Wednesday nights, Nahum and this week Habakkuk, they were given a special prophecy. They had no scripture written down. They had nothing to go from. They just had a divine revelation from God. And Paul said, though I could go to a church and speak by divine revelation, direct communication from God, even if I do that, but I don't have charity, it's nothing. Well, can you imagine having the gift of prophecy? Wouldn't that have been a wonderful gift to have in the Old Testament, in the times of Christ? And yet Paul said with the value that was placed on those gifts of tongues and the gift of prophecy, he said, if I had those gifts but I didn't have charity, it would be nothing. We're seeing the value of that gift. You can have gifts without charity. Those gifts of charity is more needful than the gifts of communication. It's more needful than the gifts of comprehension. Notice in verse number 2. Though I could understand all mysteries. There are 7 mysteries in the Bible. The mysteries of the church, the mysteries of the body of Christ. There's different ones you can go through and look at all those mysteries. Paul was given the mystery of the body of Christ. Paul said, if I had that supernatural ability to divine all these things and understand all those things, and I have not charity, it's nothing. He said in that verse, though I have the gift of prophecy to understand all mysteries and all knowledge. Now again, Paul's not disparaging knowledge. Knowledge is a gift of God. But this is not a knowledge that's accumulated by the human mind. This again was a divine supernatural knowledge that Paul had without, He had no Bible to go from. He had no scriptures to preach from. And God gave him divine knowledge and understanding. He wrote the book of Hebrews. He wrote the book of Romans. Such intellectual books written on the basis of knowledge. But it was a divine revelation straight from God to the Apostle Paul. And he said, though I could write over half of the New Testament and have all that was delivered to me from God, and I have not charity, it's nothing. You know, we read about the missionary journeys of Paul in the book of Acts. Those three trips that he took to two different continents, 52 different cities, establishing church in all these different places. And when we're reading about those things, you know what we read about? We read about his activity. We read about his preaching. We read some of his sermons there. We never really read about charity in the life of the Apostle Paul. It's not a character that we see as we're reading the book of Acts that stands out. But can I tell you this? If he hadn't had charity, none of those churches would have been established. If he hadn't had that gift of charity, none of his work would have been accomplished. You know, Stanley Livingston went to Africa. And he labored for years and years and years. I mean, many years. It's a wonderful history. If you have never read about Stanley Livingston and his journeys in Africa and how someone was sent to find him from England, there's a great movie made out on that. But David Livingston, I'm saying Stanley. Stanley's the guy that was sent to find David Livingston. I'm getting it all mixed up. David Livingston. I could see some bewilderment out there, so I knew something was wrong there. But David Livingstone spent all those years, and you know, years after he was gone, explorers went into Africa when they were looking for Lake Victoria and stuff like that. They went into Africa looking and met a bunch of natives that had never met David Livingstone. What's going on? Is something going on? Huh? Pardon? Something's burning. Okay. It's not me. All right, Joel's checking. I thought it was me saying Livingston's name wrong, and then I realized that didn't fix it either, so something was going on. All right. And now I smell it too. Okay, it's not up here. I'm safe. All right, where were we? David Livingston traveling through the heart of Africa, and people met him years later. And the thing that they remembered by him were his acts of charity. He was a medical doctor that traveled through the continent of Africa. Went from the west over to the east, the first one to discover the rivers that went from one side to the other. But those that remembered him not for his discovery abilities, not even for his missionary preaching. They remembered him for what he did for others, for his charity. So Paul is saying, even in his missionary journeys, if I did all these things but had not charity, it's nothing. Charity is greater than the gifts of communication, greater than the gifts of comprehension, greater than the gift of confidence. Notice the end of verse number 2. And though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains. Remember Jesus said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would be done. Paul said, if I had the faith that I could remove, if I had the confidence, if I had the ability to say to a mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. I bet those people in West Virginia wish they could have done that. Then the roads wouldn't be going like this. They could just move some of those mountains out. You could take the turnpike from Marietta down and get into Virginia, and it'd be a straight shot down through there. Paul said, if I could have the faith to move mountains, but I didn't have charity, it would be nothing. Folks, you see what Paul is trying to tell us this evening and through 1 Corinthians 13, is charity is the ultimate gift. Charity is to have concern one for another. To have a love that compels us to do something. To get focused on others and not ourselves. See, the Corinthians, they were getting all these gifts and striving for gifts and comparing and bragging about gifts. They were focused on themselves. And Paul is trying to write to them and say, grow up. Verse number 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. He's trying to tell them, the ultimate, the best gift to have is charity. If you had charity and none of the other gifts, you've got the best thing. So Paul is talking about the need for charity in verse 1 to 3. You can have all the gifts and still not have charity. And there are people very talented. There are people with wonderful abilities. And we revel in their abilities. We revel in their talents. We're mesmerized by the things they can do. But you get to know them and it sours you. You get to know their personality and things like that, and you find out how self-centered they are.
and how focused on themselves they are. And it kind of quashes everything else that we've gotten to know about them. And so Paul is telling us the greatest gift is to have the gift of charity. We can have gifts without charity. Verse number 3, we can have goodness without charity. He said in verse number 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. Boy, that's some pretty great accomplishments, isn't it? To be a martyr for the cause of Christ. See, apparently back in the church of Corinth, they were even bragging about what they were willing to do for God. Oh, I would die for Him. Paul says, that doesn't matter if you don't have charity. It doesn't matter if you don't care about others. Don't worry about what you would do for God if you're not burdened about others and helping them and laboring for them and doing things for them. Now we got people fanning themselves and something was burning and I'm worrying about the air conditioning. All right? Where's John? Go check that thermostat. See if it's all right. Got people, huh? Okay. All right, we'll go. We can have goodness without charity. Verse 3. I'm not telling you to stop fanning yourselves. I'm just noticing some things going on. Though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Paul is emphasizing, again, that word nothing at the end of verse 2 and the end of verse 3. If we don't have charity, folks, we have nothing. If we don't have a brotherly love, a concern for one another, it doesn't matter what else we accomplish, we have nothing. And Paul is telling us in verse 1 through 3, the need for charity. Then in verse 4 to 7, he talks about the nature of charity. What it is and what it is not. And here's what I'd challenge you to do. Paul gives us a list in these verses of 15 things. And we don't have the time to go through and enumerate each of the 15 things and explain them. But what I'd challenge you to do is get out a piece of paper when you go home tonight, or if you're going to do it now, get out a piece of paper and put on one side the list of what he said charity is. And on the other side of what he said charity is not. And then look at that list and let it be a challenge to you and I to make sure that we have the biblical sense of charity. There are 7 things that he says, here's what charity is. There are 8 things that he says, this is what charity is not. Notice beginning in verse number 4, he says at the beginning of the list, the 7 things that are positives about charity, he said, charity suffereth long. When we really care about someone, when we have the higher form of love, we have extreme patience with them. The ultimate example of extreme love, the ultimate example of suffering long is God. He's long-suffering to us. We're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So the Bible says that charity suffereth long. How patient are we with those that we say that we love? When we're short-tempered and short-term with those that we say we care about, that's speaking louder than our words do. We can say, I love you, but our actions speak louder. The Bible says, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity is not harsh. Charity is not mean. Charity is not cruel. Charity is kind. So we've got 2 lists. It suffers long. It's kind. We need to jump down to verse 6. We'll come back in just a moment. The end of verse 6, charity rejoiceth in truth. It's happy for others about the positive things that happen. It rejoices in the truth of other people. We're going to see some other things. It's not envious. It's not worrying when someone else prospers or someone else is blessed. It rejoices in truth. The 4th thing that's said is down in verse number 7. Charity beareth all things. You know, when you really love someone and you have charity, you'll put up with things that you wouldn't ordinarily put up with. It beareth all things. There's some things my wife and kids can do that a stranger can't do. There's some things they can get away with that a stranger won't get away with. Why? Because I'm going to bear all things with those that I really have charity toward. There's going to be more patience. There's going to be more kindness. And the Bible tells us there you can bear all. Beareth all? Beareth all things? Oh, no, I can put up with some things, but no, charity beareth all things. Notice number 5. There's 1, 2, 3, 4. Whatever number we're on. Beareth all things. Verse 7, believeth all things. believeth all things, thinking the best of those people that we really care about, thinking positively about them, believing all things. Then he says in verse 7, hopeth all things, a positive outlook concerning other people. Hopeth all. We're so prone to be negative. We're so prone to think the worst. We're so prone to jump to conclusions. We're so prone to judge. And the Bible's telling us if we really have biblical charity, it's not that we overlook the faults and forget those failures and things like that, but we're prone to take the positive side. Beareth all things, hopeth all things. Verse 7, endureth all things. It's wonderful that the list starts with suffering long and ending with enduring all things. Enduring. We don't see eye to eye with everybody all the time. It's just impossible to do. But when we have charity, we suffer long. When we have charity, we're kind. We rejoice in truth. We bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. Isn't that a wonderful list of positive aspects of charity? What a wonderful challenge. Again, put those things down on one side of the paper and look at those things and say, if I want to develop charity in my life and have the full definition of charity, these are the things I need to show in my life. Charity is not an affection. Charity is love in action. And I need to show these things in my life. Now, Paul also, in the middle of that list, gives us some things that love is not, that charity is not. Going back up again to verse 4. After he says it suffers not, notice the word not 7 times and no once. The negatives. See, charity is positive and negative together. There's a lot of people that want the positives of the Bible and don't want the negatives. You can't have a complete picture that way. They want the thou shalt without the thou shalt nots. You can't have it that way. And so in the element of charity, he gives us the 7 positives. Now he gives us the 8 negatives. Notice, beginning at the end of verse 4, charity envieth not. Charity envieth not. You know what charity means? It means when someone else prospers, when someone else is blessed, when someone else has an accomplishment, when someone else gets something from God, we don't envy them. We're not jealous over that. We rejoice when God blesses someone else. You know many times what our nature is? When God does something for someone else, we say, God, why didn't you do that for me? That's not charity. That's the human nature coming out again. And the Bible tells us about charity, that charity envieth not. Second of all, it vaunteth not itself. Charity vaunteth not itself. It's very hard to overcome the basic nature that's in us that focuses on ourselves. We all have that element, and it's very prominent in our life. It's an element of pride. No matter how well we try to put it down, no matter how well we try to squash it or get rid of it, we always have that look at me attitude, and it shines forth in some folks a lot more than it does in others. But it's a basic nature of all of us. And the Bible says that those that have charity don't vaunt themselves. They don't elevate themselves. They don't exalt themselves. They're more interested in others than themselves. The old proverb or the old saying is, if you ask some people how they're doing, they'll tell you. And they'll take a long time doing it. You know what that's a sign of? Somebody that's vaunting themselves. They're focused on themselves. They're waiting. When you say, how are you doing? They're waiting for that. They're waiting just to get their time in. They're 10 minutes in. They're 30 minutes in. They're 40 minutes in. Charity doesn't do that. Charity is more interested in others than they are themselves. What a challenge for us to develop that gift of charity. He said, it envieth not, it vaunteth not itself. Verse number 4. It is not puffed up. Not puffed up. Not egotistical. Now, again, all these things have to focus on being self-centered. The Bible goes on to say in verse number 5, doth not behave itself unseemly. That means charity has good manners. Charity is not rude. Charity is not ignorant of others. It's conscious of others and feeling of others and sympathetic to others. That's what real charity is. Does not behave itself unseemly. Verse 5, seeketh not her own. What a difference in the list between charity is suffering long, kind, rejoicing. Charity is not envying, vaunting, being puffed up, behaving itself unseemly, seeking its own. Paul said, seeketh not her own, verse 5, is not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. Long in patience, long suffering, endureth many things, not easily provoked. When we love somebody, we give them a long rope. We give them a lot of distance. We're not easily provoked. Not easily provoked. Verse 5, thinketh no evil. Not vengeful. Not hoping they get the due that's just them. Well, I hope they pay for that. That's not charity. Thinketh no evil. Verse 6, rejoiceth not in iniquity. Goes along with what we just said. He finally got his. He finally got what he deserved. That's not charity. Folks, you see how rich charity is? How far above love it really is? That's why the Bible uses that word charity and gives it to us in that explanation. It's far greater than just an affection. It's something that's in action. And Paul tells us that the nature of charity, what it is and what it is not, it's something higher than love. And then finally, in verse 8 to 12, we see the nobility of charity. The need for it, the nature of it, the nobility of it. The highness, the majesty of that gift of charity. In verse number 8, Paul gives us three gifts that are past. Three gifts that are past. Notice verse number 8. Charity never faileth. It'll all be there. But, there's the key word, but, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Prophecies are past. Prophecies are old news. They're obsolete. They're done away with. You say, what are prophecies? Prophecies were, again, divine revelation from God directly to an individual. God spoke to Nahum. God spoke to Habakkuk. God spoke to Jeremiah. God spoke to John the Baptist. They didn't have a Bible to go from. God gave them divine revelation. Those were the prophecies. And Paul said, there's coming a day where those things will be passed. You Corinthians are valuing something that's about to be done away with. You've got old money. We've changed to a new system. That's not worth anything anymore. Paul says, charity never fails, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Paul says, just like prophecies, divine revelation from God, there's coming a day when those are going to be done away with. Those tongues, those things you value so much and treasure so highly and brag so much about, they're going to stop. They're going to end. They're going to cease. And what are you going to do when they're gone? What's going to show when these gifts are taken away? When this prophecy, when this gift of tongues, when they vanish, when they're taken away, what's going to show? Is there going to be charity behind it? Or is it going to show that it was all self-serving? It was just to elevate self. Paul says the third gift that's going to pass away in verse number 8, whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. Again, this knowledge is not the accumulation of facts and information, but it was a supernatural knowledge, a divine revelation, if you would, given by God. And Paul says these things are going to pass. These things are going to cease. They're going to go out of business. Prophecies, tongues, knowledge, these gifts that are past. Look down to verse 13, jump to the end. But here are the gifts that will last. These gifts, the church of Corinth, is valuing so much and bragging so much about and contending for. Paul says they're going to vanish away. And when they're done, there are going to be three gifts that are going to shine like the noonday sun. And in verse number 13, he says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. If you have the gift of faith, you have a greater gift than anybody else has. Somebody says, I can raise the dead. That's nice. I've got faith. Paul said, that's greater. Somebody says, I can speak in tongues. Wonderful. What a blessing. Praise the Lord. Go do it. As Paul's going to say, go in your closet, speak to God. You go do that. In the meantime, I've got faith. Paul says that hope is a greater gift than any of the gifts and miracles of the Old Testament. The gifts of governance, the gifts of diversity of tongue, the gifts of healings, the gift of miracles he talked about in chapter 12, verse 28. He said, those things are all going to be gone, but there's going to be hope. We have a blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's coming back to receive us to himself. And that's greater than the gifts that Paul was talking to the church about. And then he says, and the greatest of these is charity. Folks, this morning, if you want a gift, ask for the gift of faith to believe God. Not just for salvation, but believe he's with you every moment of every day, looking over every situation and in control of your destiny, in control of your future. Get your eyes off of yourself and put your eyes on God. You know why we get depressed? You know why we get discouraged? You know why we become a downer to other people? Because we're focused on ourselves. It's all about us. Now, I know there's times you're sick. There's times you're infirm. There's times of struggling financially and situations in life. And please understand, we understand all these things go on. But when you're talking about an overall picture, an overall nature, those that are focused on themselves, you know what the problem is? They don't have the gift of faith. They don't have the gift of hope. They don't have the gift of charity. Can I challenge you when you go home tonight? Pray for the gifts. And when you pray for the gifts, pray for the right ones, not the ones that are past, but pray for the gifts that will last, for faith, hope, and charity. Now we need to do one thing very quickly before we're done, and that's cover the middle verses between those gifts that are past and those gifts that will last. What is the dividing point between the two? When did those first gifts become past and the second ones become the gifts that will last? Well, we read about verse number 9. Paul said to the church of Corinth, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. Notice the words in part four times in these verses. The fourth time is down in verse number 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part. So twice in verse 9, one in verse 10, one in verse 12, Paul says right now, back in their time, we're in part. We have tongues, languages. We have prophecy. We have knowledge. We know things in part, but when that which is perfect is come. So when that which was in part was there, they had the old gifts. But when that which is perfect is come, they go from the gifts that were past to the gifts that were last, that will last. Where was that dividing point? Where was that point? Paul said in verse 10, but when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. Now there are two lines of thought as to what that thing that's perfect is that separated what was past from what will last. The first theory or the first teaching is that it's the revelation or the second coming of Jesus Christ. And the great evidence for that is in verse number 12, because he says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. So on the basis of that statement, face to face, many say that that dividing line, that dividing asunder between the two, from those that are past to those that were last, will be the second coming of Jesus Christ. If that's true, then prophecies, divine revelation, are still available today. If that's true, then tongues, languages, are still available today. If that's the dividing point, it hasn't happened yet, then divine knowledge, supernatural knowledge, would still be available today. So there's many reasons for folks wanting to say that which is perfect is the second coming of Christ, and all these gifts go right up to then. But I would challenge you to compare Scripture with Scripture to find out which that which is perfect is. What does he say in verse number 12? For now we see through a glass darkly. So when that which was in part was here, they saw through a glass darkly. But when that which is perfect is come, they no longer see through the glass, but they get a better revelation. Take your Bible, if you would, and turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. What is the reference to that glass through which we can see clearly? James chapter 1, verse number 23. James chapter 1, verse 23. James says this, for if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. Now you know what John just described right there? He just described the lack of charity. that they hear the word, but they don't do the word. Again, charity is love in action. Not just hearing it, but doing it. And so the context is the same. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Notice that word glass. He's like a man beholding his face in a glass, for he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. What's the context of those verses? If he be a hearer of the word, if he be a hearer of the word, and he doesn't do it, he's like a man seeing himself in the glass and not doing what he sees. The picture of the word, of the mirror of the glass is a picture of the word of God. And so we go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse number 12. When that which is perfect is come, it's the Word of God. Before that, they had to have divine revelation from heaven. Jeremiah had to go out saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. Go through Jeremiah's book and then underline every time you hear him say, thus saith the Lord. How does he know what God said? He wasn't quoting Moses in the first five books of the Bible. He was quoting a divine revelation from God to him. But Paul said those things were done in part. That knowledge, that prophecy, those tongues were in part. But when that which is perfect is come, that which is in part shall be done away. And when we got the completed canon of the Bible, when John on the Isle of Patmos put his period at the end of Revelation chapter 22, that which is perfect arrived. And what happened? The gifts that were past were past. And the gifts that will last came into being. Paul said in verse number 13 of chapter 13, and now abideth faith, hope, and charity. And the greatest of these is charity. You want to develop the spiritual gifts God's got for you? You go to this Bible right here, and you read it every day. And you behold yourself as a man looking into a glass, into a mirror, and let it reveal to you your nature and say, Lord, I don't have that kind of charity. Take that list in verse 8, in verse 4 down to verse 7. Look at those 7 positives and those 8 negatives and look at those things and say, Lord, I need the gift of charity. I need the gift of faith. I need the gift of hope. And the greatest of these is charity. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Father, again tonight we thank you for the precious Word of God. Lord, the reason we don't change from the inside is because we're not getting your Word inside of us. God, we need it more. More and more every day. And Father, challenge us to develop these qualities of the gift of charity. Lord, we're thankful for talents and abilities that you've given individuals within the body of Christ that we can serve in different locations and different purposes. But Father, help us all to have charity, an honest love and concern for others and for one another. God, we'll see our lives flourish spiritually. We'll see our church grow as we have that same care and concern, as Paul said, one for another. Help us to develop tonight the gift of charity. In Jesus' name, amen.